All right, so here we go. Fourth final hour of the Carson Anderson program. Mike Stone in for Gator today.
Doug, you survived three?
I survived three?
3 hours?
You survived? With you? Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Just to make sure.
No, working with Stoney is very fun, in part because you never know what's going to happen next.
That's a good point.
And when they say you get to work with Stoney, I'm excited about it. So, you had something on your show list, early likes and dislikes from the weekend of World Cup.
Yes. And one of them was...
Is this a like or a dislike?
It's a dislike. I don't. Maybe it was just one game, but I always thought yellow cards meant, you know, like dirty fouls.
Really, really egregious.
Or egregious. Yes, exactly. Not a regular, you know, you call a foul, you guys get a free kick, whatever. I get all that. But in the game that I was, I think it was the Netherlands game against Japan, which was an unbelievable second half.
Mm-hmm.
Four goals in one half.
It was scoreless, right? At halftime, and then finished in a...
Yeah, 2-2 tie.
Yeah.
And they scored late. Most of the goals were after the 60-minute mark, I think. Anyway, whatever. But they were. It seems that there was an abundance of yellow cards for just regular fouls. And yellow cards... They're hurtful in this tournament.
Well, I feel like we should have no say on how the world runs its soccer tournament, given our level of interest collectively as a country.
Yes.
But it does seem awfully punitive because if you get a second one of those, your World Cup could be over.
Right.
Like it to have to sit, if you two yellows mean you get a red and you're out, or you get a red, which is a super egregious, a shank. You get thrown out of the game and you have to sit out the next one. Mm-hmm. When you have three games in pool play and you get thrown out of the first game and have to miss the second one, your World Cup can be quick.
Yes.
Now, they're trying to, and I feel sorry for the lads. They're trying to, obviously, it's not like yellow cards are new.
Right.
You just think they're being handed out.
Correct.
Well, maybe Soccer Guy can tell us if Stoney's observation is
right.
He's got some legitimacy.
Right. Yeah, give me some the real soccer fan. Because I like it. I'll even watch some Premier League stuff.
How many games? There's been 12 games played so far. How many games do you think you've watched?
You mean just bits and pieces of games? Probably like 7.
Okay.
Just bits and pieces.
I'm at 9. I did that. I sat down and looked at the schedule and the games I've been playing and realized I've watched 9 bits and pieces at minimum of 9 of the 12. Kang, you?
If you count, hold on, let me think of that weekend real quick. I've watched 0 games. 0 pieces of bits,
that's
minutes.
Okay.
And I'm not even like anti-soccer guy. I just...
You have other things going on in your life.
We had this conversation late last week, and you were intending in watching some.
I was. It was ranked. I think we ranked the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals, and the World Cup of how much you were going to watch or your interest, right?
Yep.
And I had NBA Finals number 1, had World Cup 2, and I had Stanley Cup 3. I did not watch any World Cup, and it wasn't like a protest or anything. It just, I guess I was busy, Stoney. Washing my hair one of those nights. I don't know.
It happens.
Well, even Jansen watched.
Did he?
It was he watched. Right? He watched Team USA.
Oh, well, he's a big USA guy.
Oh, I know.
Well, no, the good thing is, for those that love the sport, our team put on a show, man. We scored 4 goals. A couple of them were absolutely spectacular. Balogun is really, really good as advertised.
And we did hope Pulisic can play the next game.
He made a couple of great passes.
Yes.
The first goal, which ended up being an own goal, but
he set it up.
Split those a pair of defenders, mm-hmm. and that was a beautiful play. Like there was some exciting plays in our game, and so I was happy as a fan of the World Cup in USA soccer. And look, we should get out of our group. We should win our group.
Here's the other thing I've heard people complain about. Well, they. Kind of like the NCAA tournament. They made more teams eligible this World Cup. That's why you have teams like Curaçao losing 7-1. Well, when they tied it up, that was one of the best moments of the weekend for a lot of people.
So people who missed it, Germany was a massive favorite over Curaçao, and Germany scored right away.
Yes.
Curaçao tied it. And for about 10, 12 minutes, it was tied at 1.
Yeah.
And that game ended up being 7-1.
Yeah.
But for a second there...
What, they couldn't keep it away for the rest of the game?
Well, look at this game. I'm sure. I don't know what the odds are.
Spain's one of the favorites.
Yes, I know. And it's 0-0 or, excuse me, 0-0 at the half.
Mm-hmm.
But Spain's been the much better dominant player on the pitch so far.
Yeah, well, I mean.
What are you, Mitch Johnson of the Spurs or something?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway.
I'm not a chump.
So are you still intending to watch any, Ken?
Yes, I still plan. It's still going on, right?
Yes.
I'm kidding. Yeah, I do plan on. I want to have my daughters watch it and see if it piques their interest more in soccer. Because the oldest one has played soccer.
You said you hope that they are interested,
yeah,
or you want to see if they're interested.
Yeah, I want to see if they're interested.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. This might not be the right, because it's just people kicking the ball around, and I don't know for 7-year-olds they even care that much. But maybe, you never know.
Well. Did you have them watch the Olympics at all?
Yeah.
And did they get into that?
My daughter really got into the national anthem.
Really?
Yeah. she immediately stands up and puts her hand over her heart. Like, I was like, all right, nice.
Cool. She knows what to do. All right. Well, maybe they will get into this.
So you mentioned Curaçao. You know how we talked about the celebrity Knick fans? Were there celebrity Curaçaoans? Were there? Was Andrew Jones there?
Didn't notice.
Profar? I think he's from Curaçao.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't. I didn't. There was one dude from Curaçao that looked like he just got off the Blue Man Group. Like, he had painted his body blue.
Oh, it's Dan Leach before every Michigan game.
Yeah, this is a bright Curaçao's version of blue is a bright, bright blue. And it reminded me of that commercial that, you know, not realizing that body paint doesn't wash off. I'm like, is this guy going to be stuck with the blue? Anyway, no, but our team played well.
I forgot about this. The Tigers have a Curaçaoan.
Who's that?
Kenley Jansen.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I guess we did know that.
Yeah. They won the Little League World Series in 2004. How do you like that?
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for them. Well, they put up a little bit of a fight against them.
Yes.
Germany. And yeah, there's more teams in it now, which makes for some better storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, watching the fans invade our stadiums.
I think it's so cool.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, they're endearing themselves in local communities. I guess the Scottish in Boston is just one of the biggest love fests that's going on right now the Scots in the city of Boston. We mentioned Algeria and Lawrence, Kansas. So, look, I'm 9 of 12. Now, actually, I'm 10 of 13 with this game going on right now.
Now, did Ireland make it? Because they would have been unbelievable in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I got my list of teams here. Hold on. And it's alphabetical order, so I should find this out.
It should be pretty easy.
No.
They didn't. Yeah. Okay.
The only I's are Iran, Iraq, and Ivory Coast.
And not Italy.
How good is the World Cup without Italy or Poland? I mean, it's not. There's just something wrong with it.
Okay. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take 10 texts right now. How many minutes? Should we do minutes or games? Let's do games. How many games of the World Cup have you watched? 10 texts right now. And if you have any observations you want to make, go for it. But how many games of the World Cup have you watched over the weekend? See what our audience is, their level of interest in this thing is. Sign your text so we know who sent it. If you have any comments, feel free. 248-539-9797. We'll get to your text next. Also, coming up a little bit later on, NFL free agents matched with a team. One to Detroit. I'll tell you who at 1:30 on Carson Anderson on 97.1. The Karsh Gator out today, so Mike Stone is in. 248-539-9797. All right, so got a sample of people who are sending over texts. How much World Cup did they watch this weekend? Doug in a truck says, I watched zero World Cup games. From Mick says, I watched about 15 minutes, not a soccer guy. Larry at work says, games? Zero, approximately 10 minutes. So you didn't watch a full game, you watch approximately 10 minutes.
Okay.
Brett Nakar says zero, I can't stand soccer. From Fritz in Clinton Township, zero will be the number for this entire tournament. Matt says, two so far, total bandwagon fan. The cup games get me, but I love them. Ryan and Livonia says, 0 games, 0 minutes. Jason says, I watch 0 games and will continue to watch none of it. It's soccer. Ed from Hazel Park says, 0. Trey at work says, I've never watched soccer game in my life, but I did watch USA Friday night, and I will again Friday. Wouldn't be interested if they weren't a part of the cup, though. No, I mean, look, it sort of has its place in American sports that the hardcore soccer fan absolutely loves it. And yes. When I went to the friendly between the United States and Germany at Soldier Field last weekend, 2 weekends ago, the 70,000 people there, or whatever number of people it held, were so into it. Like, it's amazing to me how part of our country can be so enthralled and find it so exciting. And then we get most of these texts, say 0.
Well, let me ask you this, yep. Since you brought it up.
Yep.
At that friendly,
yep.
How many of the regular players from the U.S. or Germany played, do you know?
Yeah, I think most of them, but they subbed them out early. Like, they were trying to get just experience and get everyone in the game.
Because
in the second half, there were guys.
So you're spending big money, because I think those tickets are pretty expensive, I imagine.
Well, it was cheaper than going to the, or it was more expensive than going to the Cubs.
Oh, okay.
It was more expensive
than
going to the Cubs.
So basically, you're paying big money to, I don't know, see an exhibition game.
Yeah, but I guess the one thing about it was to see the guys that are going to play for the United States, and these opportunities don't come along very often.
That's true.
And
that,
so
but the other
all my kids played soccer growing up, yeah. And they all
absolutely
loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
My daughter, well, one of them, the one who didn't go into equestrian, she played in high school, and she loved it. Okay? Here's the other thing I have. I know the reason, but I don't understand why they can't adjust. Maybe it's the stereotypical arrogance, but like, Michigan has held a couple of these friendlies between European teams, right?
You mean at Michigan State?
And Michigan's at the Big House, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's the perfect venue, but I know the walls are a little too close or whatever, the fuel. Why can't they just for once? Who knows when it's going to be here again? I mean, it was here last time in 32 years ago, right? So push out the wall a little bit and get a game here. Or
you're saying that you would have liked to have seen a World Cup bid for Ann Arbor?
Yeah, we had it at the Silver Dome, and they went over, you know, they didn't love it because it was the first time it's ever been inside.
Well, it's a good question. I don't know why we didn't have a bid here, or maybe our bid failed. I don't know.
Because because I know they don't do them in dome, like where this one being played right now between Spain and Cape Verde. It's at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, but it's open air up top, right? From what I understand.
Yeah, aren't they playing some of these games indoors?
I don't think so. Like the one at the Jerry Dome, the fans are indoors, but the field is uncovered, right? If I'm accurate.
I don't think so.
No?
Houston, isn't Houston a dome?
I think maybe I thought that could be retracted.
I
could be wrong. Whatever.
Yeah.
But we should have one here.
Champ, the U.S. men's national soccer team. Chump, the MSU Board of Trustees. If I could give them 1 million chump votes, I would.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure Rico and Mike will talk about that later. I would assume maybe they were not. But it's just another blow with Jay Batt leaving. Well, maybe it isn't. Maybe people didn't like him. But just more outward signs of dysfunction.
Well,
and you have a new football coach. You have a great basketball coach he's not going to coach here forever, but you got to get that athletic department. I mean, right now, the hockey is in really good shape, and some of the other sports are good, but you got to get this fixed.
Well, as I like to say, it's one thing to just fail, to not be good enough on a given day or whatever. It's another thing when it feels like shooting yourself in the foot.
Right.
Now, I said it earlier in the show, one thing I've discovered in being entrenched really since I started doing play-by-play with Michigan football, there's a lot of subtleties and nuance that fans aren't aware of. So I don't know what else could be going on up there. So I don't really feel qualified to give a super strong opinion other than just say this doesn't look like an ideal outcome for Michigan State University and its athletic department, because it feels like the university structure got in its own way with the Board of Trustees.
Yes.
And led to a president leaving and a respected athletic director, promising president athletic director duo, are now gone.
Yeah.
As that report came out yesterday that Jay Batt was being courted by, and it emerged as a strong candidate for Kentucky, and then it became official this morning that he is leaving Michigan State to go to Kentucky. And Izzo actually spoke on it.
Oh, can we hear that later?
We will, maybe? Yes. We're efforting to get it turned around pretty quickly here. Regarding the Tigers, the better MLB teams don't constantly move their players around in the lineup order like Hinch does. Too much emphasis is placed on lefty-righty matchups.
It's not even just the lefty-righty matchups. I mean, having Matt Vierling bat ahead of Dylan Dingler makes no sense in today's baseball. You know, when I was a kid, yeah, you're a power hitter, and obviously, you know, Dingler is more of a power hitter than Matt Vierling. The power hitter always batted cleanup, okay? I understood that. Now, you know what? You want to get your better guys up more often, and that would have been, you know, Dingler batting third, not fourth. And they got stuck with Matt Vierling making, what, the last out of one game or something like that?
Champ will be Carolina for winning the Stanley Cup. Congratulations to them. My chump is Jamai Jones. I agree that destroying your own city is stupid. Oh, this is about New York fans. I agree that destroying your own city is stupid when you win, but just imagine when the Lions win the Super Bowl, the city's going to look like Armageddon. I hope that eventually societies start to understand that it's not good. It's a terrible look. But I will argue over and over again, I don't think it's sports fans. I think it's people that don't care about the game and just use it to bring out like some of their worst. I don't think fans need to destroy stuff when their teams win. And if you don't care, you just see it as a chance to loot and break windows and light cars on fire.
Yeah, but look, seriously though, in New York, we talk about the fans. I'm sure pretty much 95 to 98% of the fans were doing the right thing, and it's always like in anything else. It's not just New York, it's every city. You have the 1% or whatever who are idiots to try to give the whole city a bad name.
Yep. You said we've got the Izzo sound. All right, this is from Chris Solari. And look,
who's the Spartan beat writer for the Free Press.
Thank you. It looks like this came from, and this just, we just saw this. So it looks like it came from the announcement today that the Michigan State Federal Credit Union has bought jersey patches.
Yes, they say MSUFCU.
And they
better make sure they spell that correctly.
And the only reason I believe that is because it looked like Izzo was wearing a jacket that said MSUFCU on
it. Yes.
And so I believe Solari asked the question about losing Jay Batt today, and here's what Tom Izzo had to say. I will say this. People need to pay attention to who they're voting for.
Yes.
For Board of Trustees, Michigan case of Regents. I'm going to guess that most people don't take those appointments or votes for those appointments seriously.
No, because first of all, unfortunately, too many people just vote for one party anyway. So that falls under that. And I've said this before, I don't understand why I even have a vote. Why am I voting for Wayne State? Why? I mean, at least Michigan.
State-funded university.
Yeah, I know that part, but I shouldn't have been. Who cares? I mean, I don't know. If you didn't go to the school or whatever, why are you even having an interest in either any of these schools?
Well, I don't know, but it is something that I don't think anybody really, very few people take. Heck, we don't take voting seriously enough for more important things.
Well, I'm guilty. I would write in people's names for like Wayne State and for some of the other school, for Michigan and Michigan State, because I don't care.
Well, that's what Tom Izzo had to say. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, get your votes in for Champ and Chump at a weekend. Additionally, we've got this list of NFL free agents and the team they would most make sense for. Which of these guys would you like for Detroit? We'll get to that today at 1:35. It's Carson Anderson with Stoney and for Anderson here on 97.1. really was a pretty good weekend in sports. Tigers with what felt like important games Friday and Saturday. Unfortunately, they lost them both. NBA Finals, Game 5. Knicks win the whole thing. NHL Stanley Cup Finals, Game 6. Carolina takes home the Stanley Cup. You got the World Cup. You got the College World Series. For the golf crowd, the Canadian Open. Heck, they just had the LPGA event up in Midland. So stuff was on, my friend. Stuff was on, and hopefully you enjoyed your weekend in sports. In the meantime, NFL, there was a list put out of free agents and the team that they would make the most sense for. So I'm going to ask you and Kang to tell me which of the following is the player you'd like to most end up in Detroit, because one of them is matched up with our Detroit Lions.
Okay.
I'll work my way through this slowly since it's the first time you're hearing it. Wide receiver Keenan Allen. Outside linebacker Von Miller. Wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Defensive end A.J. Epinesa. Linebacker Bobby Wagner. Defensive end Cameron Jordan. Outside linebacker Jadeveon Clowney. Wide receiver Deebo Samuel. Offensive tackle Taylor Decker. Defensive end Joey Bosa. And that is the list.
Wow.
Out of all those free agents, give me, I guess, who your top two choices would be. Keenan Allen, Von Miller, Stephon Diggs, A.J. Epinesa, Bobby Wagner, Cam Jordan, Jadeveon Clowney, Deebo Samuel, Taylor Decker, Joey Bosa.
Well, the wide receivers are interesting, but there's no need there, per se. That would be a luxury signing. So, I'm going to go with Cam Jordan.
As number one?
As number one. And number two, I'm going to go only because I think he's so so great as a leader. And he'd be perfect with Jack Campbell. That's Bobby Wagner.
Okay.
But I don't think either one of them are going to be the ones they're paired up to.
Kang, what about you?
I don't like to say this often, Doug, but I agree with Stoney 100%. You're going through that list, and my one and two is, it's Cam Jordan, Stoney, and number two is Bobby Wagner. And the Cam Jordan thing is for obvious reasons as far as someone opposite Hutch. I know we've been talking about it forever, but Wonnum didn't really, you know, do anything for me and much of the Lions fans, and Derek Moore is a rookie. So how much can you expect out of those two? Cam Jordan seems like the perfect guy to, you know, stabilize that defensive end position opposite Hutch. And as well as lead by example, he's a man of the year candidate, or he actually won man of the year.
Yep.
And he still puts up great numbers, right?
He's never been hurt.
Yeah, he plays
he's played
all the
every
time.
Game.
He's available. He's like the opposite of Marcus Davenport. The Bobby Wagner thing is, right now, Malcolm Rodriguez is your starting outside linebacker. He's replacing Anzalone, basically. It's Campbell and Barnes, right? And then,
by the way, Epinesa signed with the Eagles over the weekend.
Okay, so we didn't pick him. But yeah, so Malcolm Rodriguez is a starter right now. You put some competition with Malcolm Rodriguez. And like you said, too, Stoney, if anything, knock on wood, where it happened to Doug's Jack Campbell, Bobby Wagner can easily, being the veteran he is, the all-pro linebacker that he was, could probably just step in and lead that defense. At least help it. He won't be as good as Jack Campbell, of course, but Bobby Wagner, man, that guy's a stud. He's going to Hall of Fame.
He always has been. So, but you said you don't think either of these guys will sign with Detroit, Stoney, correct?
Probably
you said
not.
You don't think.
I don't think. Well, I don't think the Lions will look at Jordan the same way we do, and I don't. I think they're going to look for other people.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they're all set for now, and they're just going to wait to see what their needs are as we get closer to the season. So this list was put out late last week, which is why Epinesa's name is on it. And you said he signed with the Eagles over the weekend?
Yeah.
He was the one projected to Detroit.
Okay.
So, completely undermines the list, because I totally missed that news. Just so, they got Keenan Allen going back to the Chargers. They got Von Miller going to Green Bay. The list was put together by CBS Sports. They've got Stephon Diggs going to Atlanta. As I said, they had Epinesa going to Detroit, and that's now been undermined by signing with Philly over the weekend. They have Bobby Wagner going to Dallas. Cam Jordan going to Houston.
Oh, because they need more defense.
Yeah, right? They've got Jadeveon Clowney going to San Francisco. They got Deebo Samuel going to San Francisco. They got Taylor Decker going to the Kansas City Chiefs. And they got Joey Bosa going to the 49ers. The other follow-up to this is, what do you make of nobody signing Decker at this point? Are you surprised?
No, because maybe he does. Maybe they people have reached out. Maybe he wants to wait so he doesn't have to deal with training camp, too.
Kang, are you surprised?
Or see if there's anybody gets injured to a team that needs him more, and we give him more money because of that.
What do you make of Taylor Decker not signing anywhere?
I'm not surprised. I mean, he was obviously very reluctant to take a pay cut, and I'm sure it was a steep one. So if he were to sign somewhere else, it'd have to be for more money than at least what was maybe offered by the Lions, and I don't think anyone out there is one to do that. It's for someone his age and with all the wear and tear that he has, and especially how he ended the season last year. I know he may be a much better health-wise right now, but the way he ended that year last year was, I mean, he looked in rough shape. It was like held together by duct tape and glue, right?
Yeah. I wonder if there's any chance that if he remains unsigned and we get into the season and there struggles at right tackle, that he and the Lions would revisit it.
You think so?
Well, I'm asking. Is there any chance?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You think that ship has sailed?
I think so. But who knows? It just seemed it was...
I just think about how Ragnow came back last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, he spoke over the weekend and said, yeah, that's... My body just told me no more. I can't. Especially when he already had that thought. When he tried to come back, he got hurt again, so... Or was never really properly healed. So could the same thing happen with Decker? I mean,
I don't think so. I think there's, look, obviously words are words, but I think there's too much acrimony there for him to come back.
I would think so too, except what it would imply is, okay, maybe I overplayed my hand here a little bit, I thought I'd be signed by now. I'm not. I don't want to be done. The implication being the Lions are doing well, but the right tackle spot, they need to shore it up to make the run that we all think they
but
could
make.
But then
you're going to move Sewell back to right. I mean, I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah. Sewell back to right and
no.
Decker to left.
I don't think it's going to happen.
You're probably right.
Would it bother you guys at all if you went to the Bears?
No.
Why do you bring that up?
Ben Johnson, you know, I mean, maybe, I don't know how bad it was when Taylor didn't take the pay cut, but maybe there was some still ill will there, and he's like, well, I'll show you guys, you know? And
yeah.
Ben Johnson, obviously, is very familiar with him. They're familiar with each other, familiar with the division. So.
He already got Khalif Raymond from us.
Yeah.
You know?
Jadeveon Clowney finished with 8.5 sacks last year.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He just seems like, okay, from afar, kind of like a malingerer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's how he comes across to you?
I always had that impression. He wasn't a guy that always had his motor at, 100%.
Well, that wouldn't play well in Detroit.
No, I know.
But he didn't play until week four. Had a single game career high, 3 sacks in week 18 against the Giants, which gave him 8.5 on the year. But he has bounced around.
Yeah.
And just hasn't been able to really be the player that everybody thought he would. But that doesn't mean he can't help this team.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what they thought he would. Would he be better than what they have?
I think he's got the same type of injury Kirby Joseph does. That's why he's always on these one-year deals at this point, because they don't know how long this will last. It's like, can we get another year out of you? So I think that's one of the reasons why Clowney's been bouncing around a lot. And he's kind of a specialist at this point.
Yep. Joey Bosa, the age of 30.
I'd take a shot on him. I got no problem with him.
More so than Clowney?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's always injured for me, so I'd pass.
Well, we shall see how it plays itself out. The Lions still have some cap space. Haven't made that move yet with their cap space, but it's amazing this many names are available.
I know.
Although, ironically, not Epinesa, who signed over the weekend, and that's the one CBS Sports projected would go to Detroit. Your phone calls and feedback. Last chance to get your Champa Chump votes in. 248-539-9797. Stoney's in for Gator here on 97.1. Here's an interesting text we got. Hating on soccer is an American culture thing equivalent to hating Nickelback. You mean to tell me people can get excited every 4 years for curling, swimming, and biathlon, but can't get into the most popular sport in the world?
I tend to agree with you.
This texter, you agree with?
Yes, absolutely.
So I have to admit, I think there's a flaw in our methodology, which was 10 texts. How much soccer have you watched? You know how much quicker it is to type just the number zero and send that over or write out zero than it is to say, well, I watched 9 of the 12 games or I watch. So since we're only taking the first 10 texts, guess what shows up?
Yeah.
Now, do I think it's going to take over our airways? Probably not. But I think our methodology was flawed a little bit.
Doug, so definitely the more zeros came earlier, and we had a late wave of people that actually watched a little bit of soccer. So I will say it probably wasn't as bad as our unscientific poll.
Yes.
But it still leans towards not.
I recognized it when I looked down and I saw that these sentences were really short, and the whole concept is we take the first 10 texts, and that those were amongst the first 10 that got through. So anyway, 248-539-9797. I've watched none. I'm not interested at all. My sons watch 4 games. It's from Vernon, Detroit.
It's definitely a generational thing.
Yeah, my kids love it.
I think it's exciting. Look, it's amazing to me that there are people, that's not as many as it may assume. You ask somebody, who's your favorite team in sports? And some people will put like, oh, I'm a big Arsenal fan or Nottingham fan, just as much as I like, you know, the Pistons or something like that. To me, that amazes me.
Let me be clear, too. I love it. I've watched 9 of the 12 games now, 10 of the 13 games.
I like it. I get captivated by this. And, you know, there's 5 minutes of regulation time left between one of the favorites to win the thing and some country that I never heard of 2 weeks ago, or actually 2 days ago, you know, whatever. So Cape Gourd.
Verd. Did you say Gourd?
I've been saying Gourd to myself.
Is it Cabo?
No, it's Cape.
All right, man. I don't know any of this.
It's a small country in Africa.
It's like an island, right?
Verde?
Yeah. Yeah. Verd. We both, Doug and I, checked the pronunciation.
We checked the pronunciation, yes. And we're almost sure we're right. But yeah, I mean, they're scoreless, and it's just a Spain shooting gallery.
Yes.
ESPN put out a mock draft for the NBA draft, updated today.
Oh, okay.
All right. And as we see all the time, I want your thoughts on the pick. We aren't going to go through all of it because I just...
At pick number, so I'll give me the top 4, the Michigan guys, and who they have for the Pistons.
Okay, the top 4 are, with the first pick, A.J. DePanza from BYU goes to the Wizards. At 2, Darren Peterson from Kansas goes to the Jazz. Cameron Boozer goes 3 to Memphis. And Caleb Wilson from North Carolina goes 4 to... The Bulls.
The Bulls, by the way, just hired a coach today. Splitter, who was in Portland, I believe.
Is it Tiago Splitter?
Yes.
Okay. The Michigan guys, who do you think the first to go is?
Oh, it's Mara.
Kang, do you agree with that?
I'll go Yaxel.
It's going to be a Western team who wants like somebody that big to guard Wemby.
At number 11, the Golden State Warriors select Adai Mara. Yeah.
Well, wow. They didn't learn from Wiseman?
No. At number 12, Oklahoma City takes Yaxel Lindeborg from Michigan.
He's such a thunder prayer.
At number 13, Moraes Johnson goes to the Heat. So the 3 Michigan guys go 11, 12, and 13.
Wow. Back to back to back.
Mm-hmm. Mm. At number 21, and this player's been projected to Detroit, I swear, in half the mock drafts I've seen.
Oh, Sturts?
Bennett Sturts, guard, Iowa.
Great shooter. Can he defend?
Sturts has a number of top 20 teams interested in him, but it's unclear in which order the second wave of point guards will go and where it will start, creating scenarios in which one or two of them slip. His ability to organize in the half court and keep defenses honest with his shot helps his case to play immediately, but his age, 22, and average athletic ability will make him a more specific fit for teams. Rival teams expect the Pistons to target an offensive-minded player here, with Detroit's glaring need for shooting coming to bear in the postseason. Adding a ball handler to take the pressure off Cade Cunningham might also be prudent.
Hmm. Speaking of lists in the NBA, ESPN also has the way too early power rankings.
Yep.
Right after the season ended. Oklahoma City is number one. Number two, the San Antonio Spurs. Number three is the champion New York Knickerbockers. Mm-hmm. Number four is the Boston Celtics. Five is the Detroit Pistons.
I'm okay with that.
I'm very okay with that. To me, it's a little rich, if you ask me. But
you think it's too high?
Yeah. I think there's other teams that are going to be, well, obviously, it's way too early. We haven't even had the draft or free agency yet. But I think there are other teams who had severe injuries that it might be ended up being better than the Pistons are. There's going to be, they're going to be in a glob of teams in the East, I think.
A glob, you say?
Yes, a glob.
I like that, Stoney.
Yeah. Do you think Knicks fans will be screaming from the they probably don't care, but
no,
do you
right now they don't care about anything.
Yeah. That they're not ranked number one, yeah. That they're third.
I don't think they care.
Right.
No, because they weren't even ranked number one heading into this playoff, so yes. You know, they don't care.
Yeah. Yep.
But I think that's actually some respect for the Pistons. I agree with you, Stoney. Yeah. I'm a little surprised they got top five.
I know. Absolutely. And speaking of which, since the NHL just ended early, or just ended last night, they're way too early NHL projections. And I'll give you the top five and where the Wings end up.
Okay.
Carolina one.
I don't think they're going to be in this top five.
Colorado two. Dallas three. Montreal four. Buffalo five. So that's three out of five in the East, two out of five in the Wings division. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Cape Verde actually having some offense and they just couldn't score. The Detroit Red Wings are down to, I think they should be happy about this too.
What's that?
18.
Okay, on the brink of a playoff team, mm-hmm. Which I guess technically they've mastered the art of being on the brink of a playoff team. Mm-hmm.
It says Dylan Larkin's trade request was the first big shock of the season, and nailing the return on that deal will set the stage for the remainder of the summer for Steve Yzerman. It could also influence the near future for veteran UFAs such as Patrick Kane, David Perron, and James Van Riemsdyk. And mm-hmm. I think two out of those three will be gone.
And
personally, I think all three should be gone.
Everybody thought Kane. I mean, isn't that all the reporting that Kane's the only one that's likely going to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know. I'm approaching the Dylan Larkin thing. And when, if you missed it earlier, we had a soundbite actually from Elliot Friedman on the Fan Hockey Show 590 Sportsnet out of Toronto saying that he hears things are really heating up and that he knows Florida's made an offer. It's they were in purgatory and this is an opportunity to get out of the purgatory because they didn't have a first round pick. They mortgaged some of the future to make the playoffs this past year. They just weren't getting any better when it mattered most, which was crunch time to make the playoffs. This is forcing them to stop down the road that they've been going on and try to correct the ship as best they can and turn this into something better. And what we might find out is that there's something just about Dylan Larkin that just wasn't going to mesh here.
Correct.
And it might be it might work better for him somewhere else, and Detroit might be better off if they can get the right kind of players that can just make him overall a better hockey team.
I think it's best for both sides, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I think it's yet to be seen if it's best for the Red Wings. I think it potentially could be, but
right. I think it's time to break up what was here to a certain extent, unless you can somehow get something really, really good, and you think if you keep most of your guys, that'll be good. But I don't think they're going to be able to get what they need anyway.
So. Well, we've often cited that the Matthew Stafford trade request and the Grant Hill signing with another team, mm-hmm. then signed in trade, helped jumpstart two really good eras of Detroit sports. So we shall see how it plays out. Interesting that the soccer response we got today, we just had yelling and screaming outside of our studio.
Yeah, when Cape Verde almost scored a goal.
Almost scored, and the office for the next show was going crazy.
Yeah. I guarantee there's a little wager going on.
Probably.
Well, I don't blame him. Right now, we're 2 minutes left in extra time, and we're scoreless. This is a, even if it ends up this way, this is a huge result.
Yeah, I mean, Spain is, I think Spain is the overall favorite.
Yeah. Who do you, okay, Doug, well, I forgot to ask you, who do you want to win besides the United States, which,
whatever. I mean, or Canada. Given my time, yeah, my relatives would be Canada, or my time in Australia would be the Aussies.
Oh, that's right. You have a big decision to make on that.
I really don't. I'll be rooting for Team USA. But
I'm kidding.
But if we're not going to win it, I hope the United States and Australia gets out of the group.
I always root for the South American teams because I always think, for the most part, now Spain's a little, and France gotten a little better at that, but I always believe, from a spectator point of view, South American football is more exciting than European football.
Yes. Well, here's something that I, look, I'm not, never I thought I would see the day where the next show misses crosstalk because of soccer.
Well, especially because of Cape Verde. If it was Italy, I could understand
it. The only plausible possibility that would ever be offered up by anybody is if it were Italy and Valeni was like locked in.
Yeah.
Maybe Valeni's vacation in Cape Verde.
He's talked about now wanting to go. Those guys are on deck. Gator will be back tomorrow. Stoney, thanks for sitting in.
My pleasure.
Stay safe, everyone. Treat each other with respect. 97.1.